Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, September 30th, the final day of Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. I'm Abby Larico. Research shows that black men have higher prostate cancer incidence and mortality rates, and those living in some parts of North St. Louis County have the highest prostate cancer rates in the region. Urologists say early detection is key.
If you're picked up early and you pick a really, really good surgeon or a good radiation oncologist, you can get a treatment and not miss a beat.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson speaks with Dr. Arnold Bullock about prostate cancer in African Americans. It's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Democratic National Committee is assisting in an effort to block Missouri's new congressional map. Governor Mike Kehoe signed the new map on Sunday, which seeks to give Republicans a leg up in the midterms. But the DNC announced that it is going to work on a referendum that would place the new congressional lines up for a vote in 2026. DNC political director Shelby Wilt says the National Party is contributing financially to the effort.
We also are utilizing our national volunteer infrastructure to help recruit volunteers, to help make phone calls, send texts, and help people show up on the ground.
The initiative needs to collect around 106,000 signatures by the middle of December to place the new map up for a vote. In a continued push to cut through the red tape for prospective builders in St. Louis, Mayor Kara Spencer signed a bill easing restrictions on structures known as mother-in-law suites. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
The bill adds accessory dwelling units, exterior buildings built on properties that often house renters or family members, to the list of buildings that can be permitted in residential zones of the city. The move comes amidst a blitz of zoning and permitting overhauls as part of a bigger effort to reverse population decline. Ward 10 Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard says the bill will make it easier for constituents in her ward living in these structures following the May 16th tornado.
They don't have anywhere else to go. Their homes have been devastated by the tornado. So they're living in their garages not by choice, but by necessity.
Mayor Spencer says the city will continue to look for areas where they can make it easier for prospective developers to build. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The average construction worker is male, white, and over the age of 45. An event today in St. Louis is geared to expose construction career paths to high school students. They will have the opportunity to try hands-on activities and learn about internships and scholarships. Paul Robinson is CEO of Construct Reach, the organization putting on the event. He says there will be a shortage of construction workers for years to come, so there are opportunities for high-paying careers.
And so when you have a generation that's aging out and the lack of awareness about the different career pathways that exist within construction, there's an opportunity for us to introduce that to a younger demographic.
He also says the construction industry never really recovered from people leaving the field during the 2008 recession. He was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. A new program at the St. Louis City Justice Center puts secure computers in the hands of incarcerated women. STLPR's Olivia Mizell reports on why.
In August, a new program finally came to life after months of planning. Residents of the jail's women's floor have the opportunity to leave their cells to use laptops for educational purposes 3 days a week. CJC resident Karina Whitfield was using her computer to research how to care for her three-year-old daughter. She says the program has helped her to prepare for leaving incarceration.
It's a system meant to break us down, and this is something that builds us back up and gets us ready for going out into the world again.
Staff from nonprofit Unlocked Labs said they hope to eventually provide computers to all floors of the jail. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Historic preservation efforts in Calhoun County, Illinois, have gotten a boost from a statewide nonprofit. Landmarks Illinois recently awarded the county $5,000 through its Preservation Heritage Fund. The grant will help study the cost of turning a house at the Perrins Ledge Historic Site into a visitor center. Suzanne German is the director of reinvestment at Landmarks Illinois. She says the county's project matches well with the organization's goals.
They're trying to reuse this building to really tell their history and share their history with their public. It's a perfect example of what we would like to see.
Perrin's Ledge marks where Jacques Marquette and Louis Joliet landed in 1673 during their exploration of the Mississippi River. There are also Indian mounds at the site, which is about 70 miles northwest of St. Louis. Rap legend Chuck D was in St. Louis over the weekend, playing the Evolution Festival with his group Public Enemy. He also gave an artist talk at Legends Gallery in Grand Center, where his portrait show is on view through November 12th. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin takes us there.
Chuck D started making paintings and drawings in his hotel rooms on tour. His show is called Roll Call. Most of my heroes don't appear on no stamps. It includes portraits of musicians he admires, including Nina Simone, Harry Belafonte, and Woody Guthrie. In an interview before speaking to 50 people crammed into the gallery on Saturday, Chuck D says his visual art is another expression of hip-hop culture.
Yeah, you got music pop and that's hip-hop. No, hip-hop has been an embodiment of surrounding. That's been its strong point. You want people to be able to have full understanding, detailed use of its power.
Chuck D says visual images count for a lot in a culture where many people have forgotten how to listen. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
There are zip codes in the St. Louis region where black men have some of the highest rates of prostate cancer across the country. Cancer treatments and screenings are lowering the disparity rates, but some doctors say the most effective way to reduce it is to start talking about the disease. We're doing that now. Dr. Arnold Bullock is a urologist and surgeon at Washington University. He spoke with STLPR's Andrea Henderson about prostate cancer disparities among black men and how screenings can save lives.
Blacks have twice the rate of prostate cancer as whites. So if you wanted to look at a map that was generated by the county health commissioner, which they clearly demonstrate higher rates of prostate cancer in North County than compared to around the Barnes Hospital area. And believe it or not, even though it's only, 5 to 8 miles separating Christian Hospital from Barnes Hospital, the rate of prostate cancer death is 5 times higher. So we know a lot of this is not because people could not be diagnosed at an early stage. They just aren't participating in screening, either because of lack of availability or lack of knowledge.
So what are some ways that people can lower their risk for prostate cancer?
We believe that African Americans have a higher rate of prostate cancer, one, genetically, because we carry some genes or have gene sequence repetitions that put us at higher risk. But some of it's environmental. For instance, you live close to high radio frequency towers. I don't know, you have environmental exposures to toxic agents like cadmium. All of these factors we really don't know, but a lot of it is diet. So if there's one thing you could do, it's to limit the amount of animal proteins that you consume.
What are some misconceptions about prostate cancer that black men have specifically?
Some of the myths are, if I had cancer, I know my body, I would be able to feel it. And yes, you would, once it's spread to your bones or your some other place. But you feel it too late. The second myth is, you can't cure cancer. So why would you even want to know about something you don't cure? With PSA screening, the chances of finding a black man with cancer spread to other parts of his body is well under 5% now at the time of diagnosis. It all depends on at what point he got screened.
Many African Americans do not really go to the doctor enough because they don't trust the doctors or the hospital settings. How do we move past that lack of trust, especially knowing that we have some of these higher rates?
You know, some of this is based on fact. You had these major medical studies where they were using blacks, right? They're exposing them to things to see how they become symptomatic over the years. Now, you're talking these studies like in the 40s and 50s, right? And so these are things of years going past. And as a consequence, though, you have very low African-American participation in some of our research projects. And so you have a lot of blacks who will say, well, I only want to see a black doctor, which is okay. But sometimes, based on your particular medical problem, there are some people who are super, super subspecialized, and they happen to be white. I had prostate cancer a few years ago because my PSA kept going up. I had one of my junior partners who's Asian do my surgery. I think it's not the color of the person treating you. It's the time and patience they take when you're being seen.
Yeah. Well, what can family members or loved ones, friends who want to support people, especially Black men who have prostate cancer, what can they do?
If you've heard of PSA and you know someone in your family or friends who are over 40, you should ask the question, you know, I had my PSA done, or I had a mammogram, and we're in the same age group. Have you ever had a PSA?
That was Dr. Arnold Bullock of Washington University speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.